Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord that He knows my name today. Take your Bibles out, if you will. Let's open up to the book of Mark. We're going back to where we were this morning, earlier in our daily reading or our Sunday morning reading. Mark chapter 16 is where we are going to be. And I am honored. It is a privilege. It is beyond absolute explanation, to be honest with you, to be able to preach this morning the precious gospel of the risen Savior, to be able to preach what wonderful work Jesus Christ has done for us and each one of you. That if you know the Lord Savior as your personal Savior, if you know Him, what a blessing it is today to be able to recognize that. Mark chapter 16 is where we're going to be. Mark 16, you don't need to stand at home today as we've already stood for the reading of the Word of God. Mark chapter 16 and verse 1, the Bible says that when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint Him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And He saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid Him." Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for this opportunity. We thank You for giving us the precious moments today to honor, glorify, recognize, and praise the resurrection of the Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. I ask of You this morning, if You will, fill our hearts, our minds, our souls up with Your Word today. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would blow through here, would touch our lives. And Lord, we understand that this is an unorthodox type of service. Dear God, change is inevitable, and our true test is how we adapt to it. And my prayer is this morning, as people are joined together all over the world and all over the place, whatever they may hear out of this sermon, dear God, let it be of You and not of me. And I pray that You would touch their hearts and touch their lives in such a magnitude that they will be overwhelmed, that Jesus Christ would know their names. So, Father, we give You honor, glory, and praise, and thank You for who and what You are. We simply ask of You this morning to dwell with us here in these mere moments today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for reading of the Word of God today. Beloved, what we're looking at here in Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 6, the words that would change everything, that would change these three words, "He is risen." We know the day that we're recognizing this morning. We clearly understand what we're recognizing about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is no shock and awe here today. As a matter of fact, we know the importance of this day. One of my favorite records of this event is found in the book of Luke, where he says, "And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, 'Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen.'" Beloved, there are too many today in our world who are looking for life in places of, yes, death. They're looking for life in places of the dead. They filter through graveyards of broken dreams and temporary pleasures and self-gratification by numbing their hearts and their minds and their souls to the reality, all the while remaining in a state of displeasure, a state of depression, and a state of darkness. Today, there are no secret stories. There are no hidden agendas of our service this morning. There are no climactic end to the sermon this morning where we find out that Jesus Christ rose from the grave, for He is already risen, and we know that. It's already occurred, and we preach a message like this one, and we can preach a message that has a climactic end, and we can say all of that, but this day is different, beloved. Today we honor, we praise, we expound, we respect, we glorify the greatest event in mankind's history. The day, the hour, the moment that Jesus Christ not only laid his life down, paying the price for sin, but he picked it back up again. And he proclaimed victory over death. For he is, my friend, risen. The Apostle Paul said by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, saying, death is swallowed up in victory. And I cannot say that loud enough, long enough, more enough to enough people, that death is swallowed up in victory. The world would never be the same after this mighty event where he is risen. It would not be the same after this wonderful and glorious day. For on this day, there is a new beginning. Why? Because he is risen, my friend. He is risen from the grave. The world would never be the same. We look at events the world. We look at events that happen. Hey, listen, this particular event gave mankind eternal life. All that had occurred this day occurred according to the scriptures as it is written. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, Paul defines the gospel here. In verses 1 through 4, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein you stand. My friend, if you're today standing in the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are saved, sealed unto the day of redemption. You have eternal life that no one can take away, including yourself. You cannot lose it. It is a gift that has been given to you because you're standing in it. Paul says in verse 2, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. That means that you believed with empty promises. That means you believed in an empty vein. That means you really never believed on Jesus Christ. You may have believed in the event, but didn't put your faith, trust, and dependence solely in him or on him. Verse 3, Paul begins to define what the gospel is, and it's this simple today. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. And he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Beloved, first there had to be a death. One had to die for the sins of all. Someone who knew no sin. Someone who was perfect in all his ways. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This already occurred, my friend. Secondly, he would have to be laid in a grave according to the scriptures. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40 says, for as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So first, there had to be a death. Second, he had to be laid in the grave. Thirdly, and this is important for us to understand, the resurrection. There had to be a raising again. How important is this event? This event would be how important it is. In the very same chapter that Paul would proclaim victory over the grave, as well as support the definition of the gospel. The gospel simply defined is this: the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I understand the word gospel means good news. Well, what is the good news about? It's the good news that somebody perfect died for your sins, that he was laid in the grave according to the scriptures, and according to the scriptures, he proclaimed victory over death and rose again. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I mentioned the very same chapter. He says, if Christ be not, this is verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain and ye are yet in your sins. Can you imagine? Can you imagine with me this morning that if the resurrection never happened, Brother Preston, can you just imagine if it never happened, if the death happened, if the burial happened, but the resurrection? What would it be like to live in the world today? To live this life not having assurance of salvation, or at least the option to choose. Thanks be to God that that's not the case this morning. Thanks be to the Lord Jesus Christ that that's not the situation. 1 Corinthians again, chapter 15, verse 20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. My friend, it's a new beginning. We hear that words all the time. We hear those words said all the time. A new beginning this and a new beginning that. But it is a new beginning today. For he's risen for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was not an ordinary resurrection. No, sir. This particular resurrection would change everything. Many people, guys, you say, well, preacher, what do you mean by this is not an ordinary resurrection? What in the world does that mean? You mean to tell me there's been more? Yeah. I mean, beloved, there's been other people, many people have been brought back to life before this wonderful, glorious day that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Matter of fact, in 2 Kings chapter 13, we read about a man who died and was being buried in the sepulcher of Elisha. He was being let down on a rope. And this is what the Bible says. It says, when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Now, I tell you what, there's some events in history that I want to see, I would love to see. But that's one of them right there, amen? That's one of them, right? I mean, this man, Elisha, was such a man of God. He had such the power of God within him that his very bones brought back to life a man that was dead, amen? Resurrection, faithful story of Lazarus, who when the Lord spoke the words, Lazarus, come forth, he walked out from the grave in his grave clothes, having been dead 4 days. Throughout the scriptures, miracles happened. As a matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 11 states that women received their dead raised to life again. Just out of the miracles that Jesus performed on this earth, John said that the world could not contain the books if all of them were to be written. So yes, beloved, many were raised from the dead prior to this Passover weekend of AD 29, or this Passover week of AD 29. Many had, many men, many women, many children, but this one would be different. This resurrection, oh my soul, would be so different. This resurrection would change everything. The world would never be the same again. The life that we live today would never be the same. It would never be what it is before that resurrection. It would everything would change from this point forward. And I must say, praise the Lord that it did. This is a new beginning because He is risen. For the resurrection of Jesus Christ, everything changed. I want you to open your Bibles. The last time I'm going to ask you to turn this morning. We've heard our introduction from the book of Mark about this wonderful resurrection. We touched on the book of Luke and his account of the resurrection and what happened at the empty tomb that day. But I want you to go to the book of Galatians with me. Go to Galatians in chapter 3. This is the mighty apostle Paul writing back unto the church there at Galatia. Wonderful work that went on there. But in Galatians chapter 3 is where we're going to be. And looking in verse 10 with me this morning. Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 10. The Bible says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not at all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law on the side of God. It is evident, for, listen carefully, the just shall live by faith. Now you say, hang on a second, I thought you were going to preach on the resurrection. My friend, I am. I'm going to preach on an element of the resurrection that if you have it not, the resurrection will do you no good. And yet if you do exercise it, it'll do you everything. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this was something different. Resurrections were not new. People were brought back to life through the power of Elisha and different Old Testament prophets, through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The dead was raised. We've seen that time and time again by these multitude of miracles. But His resurrection changed everything. But my friend, when Paul says the just shall live by faith, he's quoting Old Testament, number one. Number two, faith is nothing new. Faith was needed with Abraham when he departed his home and offered up Isaac upon Mount Moriah, the very place and picture of where the Lord Jesus Christ would later on be crucified. So faith is not a new thing. But faith in who and what is a new beginning. You see, things would never be different from this day when they said He is risen. And now that very faith that was nothing new in the elements of our life, nothing new in the Holy Scriptures, nothing new in the life of even the Jews, it was nothing new. That faith now had to be placed in something that changed everyone. The fact that Jesus Christ was risen from the grave. It is, by all accounts, a new beginning. It is a faith in a new thing. He is risen. Look in verse 13 with me. Galatians 3, it says, Christ, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The word redeemed, guys, means to be bought back, to buy something back. We have been purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The payment on the cross was payment of in full for sin. The resurrection from the grave was the victory of death, the victory of death, which is the consequence of sin. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through what? Through His death, burial, and resurrection. Had He not stepped out of that grave, had He not risen from the tomb, oh, we would be of all men most miserable in this world. We would still yet be in our sin. We would still be suffering in the bondage of paying our own sin debt. Both are a new beginning. The death on the cross and the rising from the grave are needed for redemption. But faith in that resurrection, faith in that gift on the cross of Calvary, is what's needed for a new beginning. Beloved, I want you to look at, I think, four things today we're going to see. The first thing I want you to see, I want you to see His purpose. I want you to look at His purpose. Look there in the first part of verse 14, verse 14a in Galatians chapter 3. Notice what it says here in the very first part. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. This is a new beginning through Jesus Christ. Beloved, this was the purpose, so that all the world may know the Lord Jesus Christ, so that all the world may have the blessings bestowed upon Abraham, not just Israel. God chose the nation Israel for a particular reason. Read, I don't know if you can see the screen behind me, but read Isaiah 49, verse 6. You can write it down, and I'll read it to you now. You can read it later on. But the Bible says, and He said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. Watch this. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. This was the reason for the chosen people, that all the world may see who God is, that all the world may come and know who God is. This is the purpose of the gospel. Acts 26:23, that Christ should suffer and that He should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. The purpose of the resurrection is a new beginning. The purpose that He has risen today is so that the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will go out through all the world, that the sin debt is paid, that victory over death has been proclaimed. And that, my friend, is the purpose today, not only for God's choosing of the people, but that the blessings of Abraham would fall upon not just one race, but upon all. So not only do we have a purpose, my friend, but we have a promise. Look in the next part of verse 14, and we'll read down to verse 16. He says, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. He says, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, watch this, which is Christ. Beloved, a confirmed covenant cannot be done away with, and it cannot be added to. It is what it is. It's set in stone. It's unmovable, and yes, it is unbreakable. So the promise of the Redeemer was fulfilled, and that is the birth of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Who is it? Israel. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. Listen, we know that the Redeemer, the promise of the Redeemer is fulfilled in the birth of Jesus Christ. We know that His burial is fulfilled. And in order to be a burial, you have to have a death. And this is what Isaiah chapter 53 verses 1 through 7 tells us. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And to the Lord the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. My friend, not only do we see the promise of the Redeemer fulfilled in the birth of Christ, we know the burial is fulfilled because there is a death. And that death, and that death, and that price that he paid for us all is seen in the cross of Calvary and the resurrection from the grave. Beloved, the law can do nothing for or against the covenant of Christ. It can do nothing for or against the gospel of Jesus Christ. It can do nothing for or against the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Look in verse 17. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. It ain't going to change it. This was what was needed. This is what was needed to occur. Pay attention to this verse. The covenant was given to Abraham. 430 years after Abraham, the law was instituted on Mount Sinai to Moses. But the very covenant given to Abraham was confirmed in Christ on the cross, in the tomb, and then in the And Jesus Christ being risen again. This covenant, my friend, is for eternal life. This covenant is an inheritance with the Father. And this covenant is received by faith. There is a purpose, my friend. There is a promise that we see. And thirdly, this morning, there's a promise that is fulfilled in a person. In a person. Look in verse 18 there in your text, if you will. Verse 18 says, For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It is added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by the angels in the hand of the mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. You say, preacher, you had the promise in Abraham, but then 430 years later, you had the law instituted. Why was the law there? Because of transgressions. Until the mediator come. Until Jesus Christ come. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. This is the blessedness of being a benefactor of such faith in Jesus Christ. This is the blessing of being a benefactor, a receiver, if you will, of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary and what he did with the empty tomb. We have the Son of God as a mediator, a go-between to go before us and the Father. It doesn't get any better than that. That's what we're honoring today. That's what we're lifting up today. Those 613 laws that Israel was under between Moses and Jesus Christ was only a time that was given to fulfill the covenant given unto Abraham, that all the world may know, see, and hear the Redeemer. Read on with me, verses 21 and 22. We'll get into our final point of this morning. And the Bible says in verse 21, it says, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had not been a law given, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given in them that, watch this, believe. To all that believe. In and on the person of Jesus Christ, for what he did for all of mankind. Can I say it again? This is a new beginning. This is the blessed gift to mankind. The Lord's purpose and promise fulfilled. And the purpose of Christ was always, last point, was always the plan. It was always the plan. Verse 23 tells us in the same chapter of Galatians chapter 3, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, Paul says, to bring us unto Christ. that we might be justified by faith. Justified by faith. The law was a schoolmaster, was all that it was. Teaching the world of Jesus Christ, all of what the Jew had to do. Each sacrifice depicted what would finally happen one day on Calvary, where the ultimate hero, the perfect sacrifice, the greatest gift, the largest price would be paid to perform the needed payment for the plan to be sealed, a new beginning to be offered to all who would believe. You see, the only difference in all of those sacrifices that came before this day, all of those sacrifices that went before and the brazen altar, all of those sacrifices that paid for this little sin and that little sin and this scapegoat and that all of this one, the difference we have now is the final payment got back up from the grave. You see, Jesus Christ said, "No man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down. And if I lay it down, I will take it up again." And that's what he did. Promise fulfilled according to his plan. So in conclusion this morning, read the last three verses in our text. Verse 25 tells us, "But after that, faith is come. We are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all under the children," "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise." I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. All means all, and that's all means. That's all it means. All. My beloved, listen, you know, there's a time in our life to be in school. Now, I believe that we should always forever be learning and increasing in knowledge. I believe that to be true, and you do. I hope you do too. But a person who becomes a career student never makes anything of their life. A person who just goes from, say, elementary school into high school, into college and uni, and then grad school upon grad school upon grad, they never do anything. They're just ever just a student and not a productive citizen. The law was given for a schoolmaster, but there comes a time when school has to end. And the time that the school ended, the foreshadow, the time that school was come to a close, was the day that Jesus Christ died on the cross, spent three more days and three nights in the grave, and then on the third day he arose. You see, my friend, there is a difference today because he is risen. He is risen today, and if ye be Christ this morning, if you believe today, by faith today, in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, if that's who and what you are this morning, then you're Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise that was given. If you will only believe, if you will only trust, if you will only exercise faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have the new beginning that maybe you're searching for this morning. For when Jesus Christ stepped out of that tomb, nothing would ever be the same again, and all things would become new. I pray today, as we honor, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that you this morning have that faith within you to exercise it upon who and what Jesus Christ is and what he has done for you because he loved you. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The payment of our sin is death, but the gift, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is through Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So I ask you this morning, if you're listening to this and you're on the fence today, come and be part of the promise. Fulfill Christ's purpose in this world. Obey his plan today by putting faith and dependence in the person who died and rose again for you. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful time that you've given us today. We pray, dear God, that we would not soon forget the words that we've heard, the scriptures that we have read, the songs that we have sang. Father, I ask of you today to please, as we lift up the name of Jesus Christ on high, and we give glory, honor, and praise to our risen Savior, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, for who and what you are. Dear Lord, thank you for getting up out of that tomb. I praise the name of Jesus Christ today for an empty tomb. And as I said earlier, Brother Preston said the same. Church house may be empty today, but so is the tomb. So therefore, we will preach on and continue to glory the risen Savior. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. I hope and pray this morning that the preaching of the Holy Scriptures was a blessing.